My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. James Tavernier prepares to lead Rangers out against Villarreal by signing a new contract. It's familiar European opposition for Celtic as Rosenborg get ready to return to Glasgow. And former Scottish FA president George Peat says a club chairman asked him not to help Rangers when they had a fixture backlog 10 years ago. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me on tonight's show is Gordon DL and Roger Hanna.
Yeah, good news for Celtic fans last week. Lee Griffiths extending his stay. Good news for Rangers supporters tonight. The captain, James Tavernier, signing a new contract. Rangers rejected interest from West Bromwich Albion for the player before the transfer window shut at the end of last month. Stephen Gerrard likes him. He plays every week. He got the armband from Lee Wallace in the summer. And he's a crucial player going forward for Rangers. Very few fullbacks, Gordon, score 30 goals in 150-odd games, as Tavernier's done. Big player. Good news ahead of the trip to Villarreal.
Yeah, good signing. I think it was important for Rangers to tie him up. As Roger touched on, the Rangers manager trusts him, likes him so well that he'd made him the captain of the club. And he's responded to that. His game's been really, really good down that right-hand side. I know he's come in for a bit of criticism now and again for his defending, but he certainly makes up for it going forward. Some of the quality for the wide areas from him is terrific, Gordon. And you obviously see set plays, and the minute Rangers get a penalty, you'd really put your money on him for him to stick it in the back of net.
On any of tonight's topics, the number you need is 0141 951 1025. The Champions League group stages start tonight. We are not invited, or we were, but we couldn't make it as a nation to that stage. So we'll have to settle for a trip down memory lane. With the Champions League starting tonight, I suppose this only really applies to Celtic and Rangers fans. Give us your favourite Champions League memories. Roger, what would stand out from a Scottish football perspective?
Oh, I'm a bit older than you, Gordon. I remember the very, very first season, the qualifiers, the Battle of Britain, Leeds United against Rangers to get into those first ever groups, and it all seemed new and shiny and exciting. And you would never believe back then, 92, 93, how the Champions League would have grown and evolved to the extent that 25 years and more later, they're now trying to close us out. There's almost people in Europe wanting to be a closed shop, one four or five teams from four or five big nations in it. It can't be allowed to happen, Gordon. There needs to be that carrot for the champions of Scotland, and maybe one day the second place team in Scotland to get back into those group stages.
I know you're a fan of the Champions League, Gordon. That has cast up some big nights, some memorable nights for our Scottish clubs. We're watching from the outside this season, though.
Yeah, disappointing, Gordon, but we've just got to take it in the chin. I think Roger touched on the one. Yeah, I'm a wee bit older than Roger. The Battle of Britain, I can remember that. It was fantastic. You got to go back to a lot of good nights with atmosphere at Celtic Park. None better than the Barcelona with Tony Watt that night as well for Celtic fans. Incredible. So we've had some great moments and great games. Unfortunately, it's the Europa League this season.
That's just one to keep us ticking along in the background then. Champions League memories, since we are not involved in the group stages this year. They start tonight. But James Tavernier, give us your thoughts. 0141 951 1025. He signed a new contract, keeping him tied at Rangers until 2022. Roger Hanna mentioned the stat already. Over 150 appearances, 30 goals so far. So Rangers fans, it's quite simple. How do you feel about the news that James Tavernier has signed a new contract. Roger, I think it was not, can't possibly be seen as a surprise how highly Steven Gerrard thinks of him. The captain's armband sort of speaks for itself in that regard, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think everybody's a winner. Let's be honest here, James Tavernier will have had a pair eyes out of this, but from Rangers' point of view, they've now secured them for another 4 years and secured a player who is coveted down south. And it means if West Brom come back in January, if anyone else comes in for James Tavernier, an English Premier League or Championship club, then Rangers would be able to dictate the terms. That, you know, Rangers have strengthened their position with a view to James Tavernier's future, and James Tavernier has probably got a bump up on the contract he signed when he first came to Rangers under Mark Warburton.
Is it just the nature of the modern attacking fullback, Gordon? We will probably never hear the end of criticism for sometimes what happens going back the way for James Tavernier. But clearly, those at Ibrox and most of the fans are more interested in what he can do.
Well, especially this season, Gordon, at Ibrox, they get most of the ball. I know it's early into the season, but they've got a lot of the ball, and they like their fullbacks to get forward into attacking positions. I think he works brilliantly with Candace down the right-hand side. I was really impressed with him at the weekend. I thought he was terrific. His work rate, his quality ball. I think they've got a good partnership, they two, down the right. Yes, it's a modern-day fullback. There's a lot of fullbacks come in for a lot of criticism with their defending, but you're hoping that nowadays, with the systems that teams play, they play two sitting midfield players most times to help the two centre backs, and they allow the attacking full backs to go forward and get the quality. And for a full back to score 30 goals, it's a fantastic return. And dead ball situations, he's a striker's dream. He puts some fantastic balls in there, and I've touched on there, penalty kicks. He always seems confident. He's got to put the ball in the back of the net.
Come on, Rangers fans, then, what do you make of James Tavernier's new contract? 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. We're of course also asking for your Champions League memories. Is there a bigger picture here, Roger, as well, in the sense that there's been a huge turnover of players at Rangers? It's clearly been a fairly uncertain time in recent seasons. Managers have come and gone. They are hoping that this is the start of a period of stability, and getting your best players tied down is obviously a key part of that.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, that's going to be the way forward. Steven Gerrard's now been in for three and a half months. He will have assessed everyone at the football club. Many have been shipped out. I know a lot of the focus, Gordon, inevitably, is on the players who come into the football club, but an awful lot of players have left Ibrox since Steven Gerrard and Gary McAllister came in. James Tavernier is not one of them. They rate him very highly. They've given him the captain's armband, and now they've given him the contract and the pay rise that reflects his importance within the squad.
And Gordon, people always will accuse us of trying to sell the player on or whatever. That's not what this is about. But this is football. It's about protecting your assets, and it does mean that if Rangers do decide at some point they feel it's appropriate to cash in James Tavernier, then you're looking after that side of things as well.
Well, you've got to. That's your big asset. You've got to be in control of that, Gordon. You can't just let the time go away, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, there's 6 months left of the contract and there's a problem and you're sitting down. Get the business done right now. They obviously fancy him as a player. They want him there. He's an important player moving forward for them. They've tied him down to 2022. They're in total control of any bids that will come in for him. And the way the lad's playing, there will be bids from England that will come in for him. If he keeps playing the way he's playing, of course he will. But the good thing about this is we're not selling them. Rangers are in total control of it. So it would need a bid that Rangers thought, we can't refuse that. But I think everybody's hoping that he'll be there for a long time.
Right, if you need the number to get in touch on James Tavernier, it's 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now. Let's turn our attentions a bit and look at this as a bigger picture with regards to Rangers playing Villarreal on Thursday night. Sorry, return to the Europa League group stages, of course. Let's hear from one of the men who started the last time Rangers visited the El Madrigal, Ian Murray. This could have been a teaser question, really, couldn't it? I could have asked you two to name the starting 11. Luckily, I'm not going to do that tonight. But Ian Murray, one of the players who plays, we've been catching up with him today. He says he still rues the small margins that saw them miss out on a place in the Champions League quarter-finals. Remember that late Chris Boyd miss, Roger?
Yes, I do. I was there that night covering the game. Peter Lovenkranz had put Rangers ahead. They were ahead at half-time. It was a left-back with a very long name from Villarreal who equalised just after half-time. Alan McLeish threw on Chris Boyd in search of a winner. He'd only been at the club, I think, 2 months at that stage. Half a chance, just put it the wrong side of the post.
Well, it was a late Chris Boyd miss, as Roger says. Rangers went out on away goals the last time they met Villarreal, but Ian Murray reckons Steven Gerrard's side should go into Thursday's tie with no fear.
It was a really big Rangers support over for the game. You know, we took a lot of fans over. Very tight pitch, tight stadium, tight streets around Villarreal. Close we got to the stadium, the fans were there, and as I say, in plenty of numbers, and made it a real shot in the arm to us before we stepped into the stadium, because we've seen how many fans are over supporting us. We managed to get the ball down and, you know, knock it about fairly well, get that opening goal, you know, to give us that chance. And, you know, we grew in confidence as the game went on, and of course they equalised to take it 1-1. And then we miss a great chance in the last couple of minutes with a big body. When you get to that stage of a tournament, fine lines, if you like, are so marginal. So you always think, what if? You know, that's, you know, maybe pie in the sky, but it shows you how well we'd done that season and how close we'd ran a very good side. You know, they've got nothing to fear going over there. Villarreal haven't had a great start to their league campaign. Saying that, Rangers up until Saturday against Dundee hadn't had a fantastic start themselves, but they certainly knew it this season, have shown they can go to hard places and get results. But I certainly think Rangers will go there with the belief that they can do something. You know, it'd be nice to see them go over there and put in a good performance first and foremost, and then with that comes a good result.
0141 951 1025 to get involved. Ben in Carntyne's on the line. Hi, Ben.
Hiya.
What are your thoughts on James Tavernier signing a new deal then, Ben?
I think it's a good thing. I think Tavernier's obviously a great player. But I feel as if he makes a bit too much mistakes sometimes. You look in the Motherwell game, I think he was costly for two goals. I think it might have been three, but I know it's definitely two. So I think he's a great player. But I think in that area, he needs to work better, improving his man marking and such.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ben. But you look at the other side of his play going forward, and that's what Rangers want to do this season under Steven Gerrard. They want to be in the front foot. They come out the blocks on Saturday against Dundee, and the game is finished by half time, and Tavernier obviously scored a penalty kick. It's what we call a modern day fullback. There's not many that's got everything in their locker that can do the defending side of it and the attacking side of it. You've got to say his attacking side there is brilliant. His defending side, yeah, sometimes it's he needs to really go and work on it, because he is at fault of a few goals. Even I commented on the last game at Easter Road, the 5-5-1, when Jim and Nicol, 5-5, I did say not 5 each, when Jim and Nicol was in charge. And I think it was the last goal. The forward went by him like he wasn't even there. His body position and everything was poor, but he's getting better. But as I say, his strengths are definitely going forward. And a lot of people will think, put him up one. I don't think he can play there. I think he's like the typical fullback that likes to see the big picture. He likes to see the full length of the pitch, timing his runs, getting his ball, he can put the ball in quality for all different angles. The old days was managers used to say, get to the byline. He doesn't need to do that now. You know, further back, he just whips great balls in, and it causes all such problems for defenders, and they can't deal with it. But no, I think it's a terrific piece of business, and I'm sure that he will be working on his defensive side as well.
Roger, I mean, that's not really a secret, is it? We've had how many calls on this programme talking about the two sides to James Tavernier, if you like. As we suggested earlier, and I'm not saying you just abandon it and say, well, you know, X player can't defend, that's just the way it is, but you do tend to take the rough with the smooth when it comes to modern day fullbacks, well, even at the top level.
Yeah, and the key to this is Steven Gerrard is, you know, willing to take the rough with the smooth when it comes to James Tavernier. Ben's right, Motherwell game was probably a case in point, but you could have half a dozen examples of it. He's not the world's best right back, but if he was the world's best right back, he wouldn't be at Rangers. Defensively, he's suspect. Going forward, he's very good. So Steven Gerrard will have looked at this when he came into the club. He'll know the pros, he'll know the cons, and he's willing to embrace James Tavernier for everything that he brings to the club, in the knowledge that he might be responsible for a goal at the other end now and again.
Ben, when he was made captain in the summer, I know that wasn't a unanimously popular decision, but how do you feel he's settling into that role?
I feel like there's not really anybody else you could put up towards that role, apart from obviously Lee Wallace, but he's not been getting game time because of injuries and such and whatnot. Obviously what's going on in the background to him, obviously nobody knows. But I think nobody else would suit that role other than Tavernier.
That's maybe something that's still to come through in time, Gordon, as to how his leadership qualities have developed. Because it was something, again, on the phones, we used to hear it all the time last season about Rangers. No leaders, no leaders, no leaders. I wonder how he's developing respect.
I disagree with Ben a little bit there, that there's no one else. I think there are candidates there. You can look at, for instance, the goalkeeper, McGregor, could be the captain. Goldson, who's the centre-half, brought in for 3-point-odd million. Arfield, very experienced player in the middle of the park. But it just goes to show the belief that Steven Gerrard has in Tavernier for his qualities.
On Twitter at Clyde SSB, Ped is happy. He says, best fullback in Scotland, fact. And an exclamation mark. The fact is in capitals as well. Mm-hmm. So you've got to take that serious. But Billy's on, who's also a Rangers fan, and he said, pre-2012 he wouldn't have got a game for Rangers. He's average, but that's where we are. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Jamie's in Bishop Briggs. Hi, Jamie. Your thoughts, Jimmy?
I'm absolutely delighted that Tavernier will be staying at Rangers.
What is it that delights you about him? What pleases you the most about his recent performances?
That he's been playing absolutely brilliant in the last couple of games.
I think Saturday, as Gordon mentioned, Roger, you're not going to sign a player purely because he's good at taking penalties, but he is, it's another added bonus, if you like. He seems to be fairly deadly from 12 yards.
Yeah, he's a Rangers.
It's a good thing to have, isn't it?
Rangers Graham Alexander to have one of your full time teaser answers from the other night, Gordon. And listen, it's handy. He scores free kicks. He scores penalty kicks. Some people will come on the phone and argue that his priority as a right back should be to stop the ball going into his own net rather than putting it into the opposition's net. But as we've said, and we've probably said it for a moment, James Tavernier came to the football club. Defensively, he's not that solid. But clearly, managers, and Steven Gerrard's the manager at the minute, are willing to take him on in the knowledge that he's not great at the back because of what he gives the team going forward. Daz is right. Partnership with Candias has worked. His deliveries, you know, we speak about 30 goals in 150-odd games. How many assists must James Tavernier have had in those 150-odd games as well? So, a valuable player, and it's a good bit of business for Rangers to get him tied down for another 4 years.
Robert Coates is on Twitter. He says, Rangers fan here, over the moon with Tav signing a new contract. Love to see how he would play at right mid, to see how he would be with cover behind him. What about the bigger picture in terms of this game against Villarreal? We heard from Ian Murray there talking about the previous time that Rangers went there and visited. How's this one shaping up this week, Roger?
I think Rangers might have liked it last week because Villarreal were second bottom of the league going into their domestic fixture at the weekend. They were without a win. They were without a great deal of confidence either. But they've gone and won at Leganés at the weekend. They've got a couple of players back. They look slightly sharper than they did a week ago. It's maybe not the best time to get them, particularly when there's no Alfredo Morelos. Couple of injury doubts as well for Rangers who travel out tomorrow morning. It'll be interesting to see the lineup. I think that's why Kyle Lafferty didn't start the game at the weekend. I think he will lead the attack in the absence of the suspended Morelos. It's a big ask. I think if you offered Steven Gerrard a point on match day one, he would probably take it.
I think they'll go very confident, Roger. I really do. I think that, I know Dundee are a mess just now. They're all over the place, not even got a point. And you can only beat what's in front of you. But I thought Rangers looked very sharp at the weekend. They've got good pace in the flanks. Arfield, I thought, was terrific in the middle of the park. They won 4-0. It could have been a lot more. So I think they're going a lot over there with a lot of confidence. And I think they're strong in the middle of the park as well, Gordon. So they'll be hard to break down. Plus the fact, on the counter, you know, if Kent plays in the wide area, good pace about him. Candias, I thought, was terrific. Good pace as well with Tavernier down the right. I certainly think they'll create chances. Morelos may be a miss, but that's why Lafferty was signed.
You saw him on Saturday. Just a one change for Thursday night, Lafferty for Morelos?
Yes.
0141 951 1025. Rangers, it's not only a big week for Rangers. Celtic up against Rosenborg. We're going to be speaking to our Norwegian football expert. It's not Gordon DL. Nope. I think I've used that joke before in the show, but it's worth repeating. It's not Gordon DL. And we'll get to that after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hanna here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're building up to big nights for Rangers and Celtic in the Europa League. And since the Champions League group stages started tonight, and we are not there, I was asking you for your Champions League memories. Craig Logan says, best Champions League memory, Rangers v Marseille at Ibrox, 2-0 down to draw 2-2 against a world class team with players like Papin. I take it you remember that one, both of you.
Papin,
that's
what
right
a,
in your era, isn't it?
Yeah, what yeah. a player, what a striker.
Who scored the Rangers goals, Dan?
Rangers players.
Mark Hatley and
Phil McCoys.
Gary McSwiggan.
Oh, I wouldn't have got
it. Was on
that.
The teaser last week.
It wasn't the teaser last week.
Papin up front.
Soccer Zine is on. Personal favourite of mine, Celtic, Nakamura's free kick against Man United. It's a standout one as well. And Ants Boy, you probably shouldn't admit this, Ants. He says, I was a steward at Celtic Park, celebrated with the fans when Naka hit the free kick, and I was also watching on the touchline when Saha missed the penalty, getting paid to see my team as I did no work at all. And that's Ant's future career as a steward gone. He's exposed himself. Right, 0141 951 1025. Let's build up to a couple of big games during the week. We've already looked at Rangers' trip to Villarreal. Let's turn our attentions to Celtic against familiar European opposition in Rosenborg. Now, I'm pleased to say we're joined on the line by Ben Wells. He's a Norwegian analyst for Football Radar, knows his stuff about Rosenborg. Thanks for joining us, Ben.
Hi, mate. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Now, there is a bit of a familiarity about this, Ben. Celtic and Rosenborg have met a couple of times in recent seasons. Yeah. What's changed since they met earlier this campaign?
Well, obviously it wasn't too long ago they last met, but a couple of new signings come in, but otherwise it's been pretty similar, to be honest, to as it was before. Rosenborg's still up there, top of the table, but yeah, not being very convincing recently.
Having said that, I think the results certainly show that they, you know, got over the Celtic defeat pretty quickly, unbeaten since then.
Yeah, interim manager's done well. He seems to have got his club playing some nice football. As I said, a couple of new signings have come in and improved the team. And yeah, they look good, but without really sort of going to that next level, I think.
Yeah, our listeners may remember there was a bit of managerial uncertainty when they met in the qualifiers earlier on. Is that sort of settled down now? I remember the players weren't particularly pleased at the manager getting sacked, but I take it that situation's all calmed down?
Yeah, I think at the time, the manager who left previously was very well liked, so a lot of the players kicked off about that. But the interim coach has come in, he's resettled the team down, he's gotten playing some nice football, so I think, yeah, the issues that were there before, they've subsided now, yeah.
Roger, Hannah, let me bring you in on this. It's not too often, you know, you meet European teams twice in one season.
It's an really strange setup. You know, Celtic will now play Rosenborg more times this season than they'll play half the teams in the Premiership. I was going to ask, Ben, it was a big win for Rosenborg at the weekend against Ronnie Dyla's Vålerenga team. How did they perform at the weekend? You know, have they got confidence coming into this trip to Glasgow?
Yeah, so it was an interesting game, actually. Vålerenga played really well, obviously managed, as you said, by Ronnie Dyla. Vålerenga dominated the game completely. They probably should have won. Rosenborg managed to get it 2-2, and then last minute, absolutely beautiful goal from their new forward, Islam Jabali. Volleys it in from a corner into a far post. So I think if they'd drawn that game, they'd be going into this game a lot less confident. But that last minute goal has given them quite a big boost, I'd say.
And what's he added to the team since he's come in? He obviously wasn't involved in the Champions League qualifying tie. Yeah. What does he bring to the forward line?
A lot more flair. Rosenborg sort of famously played 4-3-3, two sort of inside forwards that wide. Usually there's not been a lot of pace that wide recently, not been a lot of trickery, and he sort of added both those dimensions to the team. I think he scored 4 league goals now. Looks a real deal after signing from a Swedish side. So yeah, he's definitely improved the team. It'll be interesting to see how he does against a lot better opposition in Celtic.
And we've seen again in the last 10 days or so more problems off the field for Nicholas Bentner. Do you expect him to travel with the Rosenborg squad for this game?
I think it depends. He's been injured the last two matches, so a lot depends how he's recovered from that. I don't think he's expected to travel, but I think a lot could happen in the next 24 hours. I'm not too sure about that. They stood by him since his cab incident. Beating up another cabbie, it sounds like. So they'll stick by him through that. But whether he's fit or not is another matter.
You mentioned some of the new attacking options, Ben. I remember over previous ties, the skipper Mike Jensen being one of the guys who sort of stands out. Is he still very much an integral part of that team?
Yeah, very much so. He's been playing a lot higher up the field under the new manager, almost as like a secondary striker. I don't know if you remember in the first leg against Celtic. He essentially played just off Bentner as a secondary forward, when usually he's more of like a playmaker from deep. Yeah, he's a very important player for the side. Rosenborg do have quite a strong midfield, I'd say, so that's probably an area they'd be looking to try and control the game from.
And just finally, before we let you go, Ben, what's the perception from those inside Norwegian football then? I mean, Celtic have obviously beaten Rosenborg in qualifiers twice recently. Is there an acknowledgement there that Celtic are clear favourites, or is there a belief that Rosenborg may well get one over on them this time?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Rosenborg got a lot to prove after the two matches previously. I think after that early goal, they probably thought they could maybe get a result, but never really sort of pushed on from there. I think Celtic are clearly the stronger side and should be clear favourites in this game. At the same time, I think Rosenborg will fancy a chance of maybe missing a draw. I think a win's possibly out of the question, but yeah, they'd definitely be up for at least trying for a draw.
Great stuff. Thank you to Ben Wells, a Norwegian analyst for the Football Radar, giving us the lowdown on what Celtic can expect against Rosenborg. But I guess the Celtic fans partly already know what to expect, Gordon, because they had the experience of playing Rosenborg not too long ago.
Yeah, they'll know they're in for a difficult game. They were going through a little bit of a turmoil at the time with the manager and, you know, the new coach coming in. The players weren't that happy about the decision, but it's all settled down now, and you've heard they're a lot better organised, but you must fancy Celtic Park, terrific atmosphere, and Thursday night home advantage. I just think Celtic will be up for it. They'll be confident because they've beaten them before, and I think they'll get a victory. I think it'll be a difficult game, but I think they'll get a victory. I think they'll have too much fun.
On paper, Daz, it looks like the easiest of the six group games for Celtic, so I think they might need a victory just to give them a little head start, and you maybe hope that the two Red Bull teams split the points in their game, try and get to the top of the group, because the fixtures that come after Rosenborg, they do look tougher for Celtic.
It's a 1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. Let's talk Celtic against Rosenborg. John's in Bells Hill. Hi, John.
Hey, yeah, how you doing, guys?
Not too bad, John. What's your point tonight?
Yeah, point. I'm just a wee bit disappointed, you know, watching these. As a Celtic season ticket holder, just watching these group stages, these games on tonight for the Champions League, just disappointing that we're not there this season. I know the qualifying rounds was kind of difficult. AK Athens, I thought we could have done a wee bit better against them at home, and then losing a goal early on over there, didn't really help us as well. One of my main points is that I'm a bit disappointed with Celtic this season just for the signings and stuff like that they've made. I'm hoping a lot of my Celtic fellow supporters will agree with. But, you know, I just don't think that we've done enough. And I think it showed on Friday, last Friday, against St Mirren. I mean, no disrespect to St Mirren, but, you know, people talk about this gap and things like that, you know, between Celtic and Rangers and whatever. But every game I've been to this season, I've been a wee bit disappointed with it, apart from the 1-0 against Rangers, you know, to be honest. And I just think that this is going to be a long, hard season for us.
Yeah, I think they needed the Rangers game. They really stepped their game up, the pace of it, everything, their movement was far too good for Rangers, and they won it comfortably. But you look at them on Friday night, they go to St Mirren, everybody's expecting, yes, St Mirren brought a new manager in, you get reactions, but with the squad of players that Celtic got and the talent they've got on that pitch on Friday night, no disrespect to St Mirren, they should be winning that game. But their tempo was very, very slow for some reason that you don't see all the time. They look like they need a wee jag somewhere this season just to get them going again, get them motoring, because if you look at their strongest 11, they're certainly the best side in Scottish football.
It's strange that you touched upon it. I think it was maybe in Saturday's show. If St Mirren had been wearing Rangers jerseys, Celtic would have won the game.
Oh, don't you start. That's his favourite line of the season. I think he's going to get it tattooed on himself.
But listen, theoretically, the Rangers game should be the toughest one for Celtic. Realistically, that's the one they've looked the most comfortable in. That's nothing to do with Rangers. It's to do with the 11 Celtic players in the park, because they raised their game and played to their full capacity. Haven't done that in other games. They didn't do it at St Mirren on Friday night. They'll need to do it against Rosenborg, because if you listen to Ben there, they've improved since the teams last met. And then on Sunday, lunchtime at Rugby Park, they'll definitely need to be at their best against a decent Kilmarnock side who beat them at Rugby Park the last time.
Sometimes football just doesn't surprise you. The first goal of this season's Champions League, anyone, has been scored?
Barcelona?
Yes.
Lionel Messi?
Yes, there you are. Lionel Messi. He's quite good, him, I think you'll find. A free kick for Barcelona, the first goal of this season's Champions League. It's still Inter nil, Tottenham nil. I remember we were asking you for your favourite Champions League memories. Since we are watching from the outside this season, let us know what was the high point during your team's involvement. And you come again, John.
Yeah, so sorry, just to pick you up on that one, I think you are totally right. I think that Celtic will need to be on the ball on Thursday against Rosenborg, because I've seen them the last time, and I think that it was quite a good game. Unfortunately, I think the Europa League is at our level now with the players that we have got, and it's a bit of a shame to say that, but I think that's your level. But sorry, just before I go, the best, every game at Celtic Park in the European and the Champions League is a great game, but one of the best ones for myself was against Juventus 2001. Celtic won 4-3. So it was, what a game that was.
Yeah, Roger, that's one of the classics, isn't it?
It was an incredible...
Yeah, that one, Roger?
No, actually it wasn't. I had been in the game in Turin, the 3-2 game, when Juventus scored a very, shall we say, dodgy penalty near the end. I think it was Nicola Amoruso went down, yep, for the penalty. I'd been at that game. I wasn't at the game at Celtic Park. But listen, we could go through the entire show with great Champions League memories. And as the first caller, Ben, said, it's just such a shame that Scotland isn't represented. I have to say, though, come Thursday, when it's Daz and Mark and yourself in the show, I think Europa League fever will have kicked in, because for the first time ever, both the big Glasgow clubs are together in the group stages. And, you know, each week, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, I think it'll be absolutely terrific. It doesn't have quite the glamour of Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo and all the Champions League, but I think once it gets going, it will transfix it.
John, final question to you then. As a team that's been in the Champions League the last couple of seasons, and you're obviously very disappointed to not be there this time, does that mean that you're very much targeting progression from this Europa League group? John? I think John's gone. John and Belsell is left us. I'll just ask you two then. Is it... I mean, Roger, such is the strength in some of the finance in Europe, it's still clearly going to be difficult. Rosenborg are not going to be easy. I know Celtic have got past them twice. You look at the other two teams in the group, so it's not going to be easy. But is that the feeling you get from the Celtic fans?
If you don't think you can get through the group, don't bother going into the group, Gordon. Brendan Rodgers was saying on Celtic TV last night, don't expect us to win it. I don't think anybody does expect them to win it. But I think a lot of Celtic fans, realistically, would expect them to go through. It's Leipzig, it's not Bayern Munich, and you know, in the group. So good teams, quality teams. Everyone knows what Celtic Park can be like in the European nights. Celtic have a chance of getting through. And likewise, Rangers, you know, we don't know much. Spartak Moscow don't look as strong as they were. Villarreal don't look as strong as they were. We don't know too much about Rapid Vienna. But there'll be Rangers fans phoning the show in the next two or three nights who will expect Rangers to mount a fight to get out of the group.
0141 951 1025. We're going to talk about former Scottish FA president George Peate after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I've been asking you for your favourite Champions League memories since the group stages get underway tonight. Robert Coates is on Twitter. He says, Peter Lovenkrantz goal against Villarreal at Ibrox. What a night and what a goal. I remember that one well. There's a few more coming in on this. Mick says, the best Champions League team goals, Celtic v Lyon. 40 plus passes, Liam Miller with the goal. See it on YouTube, he says.
Yep.
You remember that one?
And listen, it was one of Celtic's best wins as well. I think Chris Sutton scored the other goal, a 2-0 win at Celtic Park. The thing that the thing that did for Celtic in those days was the away form, because they should have won in the Stade Gerland against a top Lyon side and lost 3-2. They were ahead against Bayern Munich in that same section in the old Olympic Stadium and lost 2-1. I think Roy Mackay maybe got a couple of goals at the end, and it was, that was really a season of what ifs for Celtic in the group stage under Martin O'Neill.
And Joanne McBride is quite right. She says, just to remember, a Scottish team is still in the Champions League. Glasgow City going to the second leg of their last 32 game a week on Thursday, 2-0 up from last week's away leg. Indeed they do. Good luck to all involved at Glasgow City when that one rolls around. Right, what about this story? Roger Hanna, former Scottish FA president George Peat, has come out and said that a club chairman, an unnamed club chairman we should say, urged him not to help Rangers in any way amid a fixture backlog. This is in 2008, 10 years ago, when Rangers got to the UEFA Cup final. Now this is an interview with the BBC where this has come around. He says, the prominent club asked me to and I refused. What do you make of this? It's got a lot of people talking.
Yeah, it has. I think it's got a lot of people talking because there's always the why now factor. Why now has George Peat, 7 years after he left Hampden, you know, revealed this? At the time, there were a lot of talks going on. Lex Gold and the old SPL were in charge of league scheduling. George Peat and the SFA were in charge of scheduling the Scottish Cup final. Rangers were looking at one stage for four trophies. They'd already won the League Cup. They were in that Scottish Cup final against Queen of the South. They were in the UEFA Cup final against Zenit St. Petersburg in Manchester. And because of all the games they had to play, they had a backlog of league fixtures as well. They were keen on the season being extended. It actually was extended by a few days, if you remember.
It was extended to
the Thursday night. Celtic ended up winning the league. They beat Dundee United at Tannadice, I think. Was it Venegor of Hesseling scored the goal that won the league? Rangers
because
lost
I remember Mark Wilson in the studio referring to it as Helicopter Thursday.
I was on that show with Alan. I think I like they only stopped laughing about an hour ago at that line. But, you know, they did extend the league. Nothing to do with George Peat. That was to do with Lex Gold and the SPL took the decision. George Peat didn't move the cup final. But now he's revealing that, you know, he also rejected this telephone call plea, if you like, from an unnamed club chairman not to help Rangers. It's all interesting. It all adds to the conspiracies that underpin so much of Scottish football.
Are we taking guesses on who this club chairman was?
Well, I can't imagine it was the Rangers chairman of the day, so we've narrowed it down to another 41.
Yeah, the Montrose chairman, probably the real issue with it. Gordon, what do you make of it? I know you came into the studio talking about it earlier on.
I find it very strange that George Peat has come out now. And
I mean, he was just doing an interview with the BBC and was asked the question, wasn't he?
He's probably done a lot of interviews, Gordon. And why did he not come up with it then? Why did he not come out with it at the time? And also, I'm with Roger. I don't think we'll ever know who the chairman was. But it just shows you that things were going on behind the scenes in Scottish football at that time, which I don't think are right.
Gordon says it's not right, Roger. George Peat does say, remember, that the prominent club asked me and I refused. So this plea from another club didn't actually work, if that makes sense. Does that change the dynamic of the story for you?
Not especially. No, I don't think it does. I don't think any other club chairman, you know, why would they want Rangers to be helped in any way? Rangers were
no greater good of Scottish football, yeah, winning a European trophy, perhaps.
Rangers were victims of their own success, if you like. They, you know, it was a season of unparalleled chaos at the end of that season. Rangers having won one domestic cup. They did go on and win the other domestic cup, if you remember. They beat Queen of the South 3-2 in quite an exciting final. But they had to play the final less than 48 hours after that last league game at Pittodrie against Aberdeen. They had played St Mirren the previous Monday night at the old Love Street. They had played another league game, I think, a couple of days before that on the Saturday, which was after the Manchester game on the Wednesday night. So they were playing, I think, finished with 5 games in 11 days at the end of the season.
Yeah.
You think about it, there does feel an unfairness to it. But, you know, I can't imagine club chairman phoning up George Peat, phoning up Lex Gold and saying, Les, listen, you know what we should do? We should actually help Rangers through it, you know.
Yeah, I know, but that's an extreme, is it not? Would the other suggestion not just be that no one says anything?
That's not Scottish football, Gordon.
I can't argue with that. 0141 951 1025. David's in Thornley Bank. Hi, David.
Hi there, how you doing, gentlemen?
Not bad, David. Thanks for getting in touch. What's on your mind?
Yeah, well, two things. First of all, you're asking about Champions League nights and your good memories.
year 2000's Rangers Stormgrass Ibrox, I was very fortunate to phone in the morning and win the Radio Clyde phone-in for the hospitality Ibrox that night. So that was my special night.
That's not bad.
Mm-hmm. But the point I'm really wanting to phone about is this George Pete interview with the BBC. If that is true, and there's no reason to lie about it, then surely there should be some investigation into this, because at the end of the day, whoever it was, and we'll probably not know unless there's some investigation, whoever it was has tried to corrupt an official. And surely that has legal ramifications. And if so, then surely there should be some legal inquiry into it to find out who it was and take action against them. Although it's retrospective, a bit late for doing it, attempted corruption of any official is an illegal act. That's my point.
I'm not sure he was trying to, whoever this chairman was trying to corrupt anyone. He's not. He wasn't asking John Speed to be breaking any rules, bending any rules. He was quite the opposite. He was just asking George Pete
to leave the rules as they were, so to speak.
To leave the rules as they were and not make any changes, any changes that might benefit Rangers or, you know, hinder any other rival clubs. We don't know. Similar phone calls may have been made to Lex Gold at the SPL. We've absolutely no idea. What actually happened was the opposite, because Lex Gold and the SPL did extend the season. Whether or not that was with a design to help Rangers, whether it was because they simply couldn't squeeze all the games into the number of days there were, and George Pete rejected this advice from the said unnamed club chairman not to do anything to help Rangers. So I know the point you're making. I don't think anyone was trying to corrupt anyone else, and I certainly don't think, more than 10 years on, any investigation into this could possibly benefit anyone in the Scottish game.
David?
No, I agree. I still think that obviously some teams, some fans have a bad in for Rangers. They went to administration, did this, did that, ETTs, etc, etc, etc. And whoever they are all saying, oh, there has to be transparency, sportsmanship and blah, blah, blah. Well, quite clearly, somebody from another club had it in for Rangers to try and make sure they didn't win the league that year. However, it backfired. Well, it backfired on them. They did extend the legal Rangers didn't win the league. The Celtic won it on the last day. However, there was somebody trying to corrupt an official, in my opinion, and try and stop things happening.
What about Roger? Because, David, obviously, we know we've got intense rivalry in this part of the world, and perhaps that clouds people's judgment at times. What about Roger's earlier point that, of course, other clubs, rival clubs, wouldn't want to help Rangers?
Well, if they look at the bigger picture, and if they've got a semblance of intelligence, they would see the bigger picture that helping Rangers or Celtic would have helped the coefficient, which perhaps, going back then, might have had the coefficient up slightly higher than it is, whereby if it was Celtic or Rangers, Aberdeen, Hearts or Hibs in Europe, then the coefficient's higher, we get more teams in Europe, and perhaps Celtic wouldn't have had...
You know, I'll tell you, David, that's a good point you make.
That seems fair to me, Roger, but I'm not really involved in that rivalry.
Take George Pete and his allegations out of the equation for a minute. I tend to think the basic point you make is right, because any Scottish club going into Europe, for me, should be assisted in any way possible. You hear of FAs on the continent who, if their prominent clubs are playing big European games on a Tuesday, quite often in the past, they'll let them postpone their league game the previous Saturday, so they've got a week or so to prepare for it. And they'll do anything they can to help their clubs. The end game being exactly what you say, their clubs do better in Europe, the coefficient goes up, maybe more clubs get into Europe. But at no stage ever do you see the SFA, or more pertinently now, the SPFL, do that. More often than not in recent seasons, when Celtic have been playing big Champions League games, they're either in Dingwall the Saturday before or they're in Inverness the Saturday after in the last few seasons. So the fixture list never seems to be very kind to the teams participating in Europe. I take your point. I think the league and the FA here should do more to help the clubs that are in Europe.
Okay, thank you to David in Thornley Bank. It's 01419511025, the number to get involved on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Remember, I'm also asking you for your favourite Champions League memories. The Champions League group stages start tonight. And by the way, we're just seeing reruns of that Lionel Messi free kick, the first goal of this season's competition. That sound effect that you just heard coming from Gordon DL sums it up.
Did you woof?
I think he woofed. Absolutely. He woofed over the corner.
That was a top class
woof. Love the fact the goalkeeper actually tried to dive.
I think he's been watching Stevie Mallow.
Yeah, there's a few, to be fair, coming in on Twitter. Your favourite Champions League memories. Mark Malone says Rangers Bayern Munich, even though it finished 1-1, Rangers were absolutely brilliant. Me, my dad and 50,000 other Rangers fans watched Rangers play Bayern off the park. Atmosphere was amazing. Where's the other one? I quite liked it. Will said Rod Wallace goal against Parma after Rangers keeping the ball away from them for 3 minutes, and he says 25,000 passes. That sounds like a Gordon DL exaggeration, I must say.
Beat the Pundit
with goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time for Beat the Pundit. You think the Champions League is a serious competition? It's nothing in comparison to this. Roger Hanna and Gordon DL both standing by. If you want to take them on, if tonight is your night, go and pick up the phone. 0141 951 1025. You only have until the news at 7 o'clock, so you have to be quick to play tonight's Beat the Pundit.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, and tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We'd love for you to join us. So if you fancy it, 01419511025. We're also on Twitter at Clyde SSB. We're building up to big games for Rangers and Celtic in the Europa League on Thursday night. We've been asking for your Champions League memories since the group stages get underway this evening. So we'll take as many of them as you want after we do this.
Beat the Pundit
with goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Time for Beat the Pundit. Roger Hanna won 6-5 last week, the closest he's come to losing in years, but he got over the line. Let's see how they're going to fare tonight. They're going to be taking on Ross from Castlemilk. Good evening, Ross.
How you doing?
How are you tonight? All right?
I'm all right, thanks.
Good man. That noise you can hear is Gordon DL thrashing around in the corner, moving his mic. Explain yourself.
I get excited at this time in case it's me. It's on Beat the Pundit.
Right, okay. Well, we'll toss the coin and we'll find out. If you could just stay still, please, and save that noise coming through the headphones. Heads, it's Roger. Tails, it is you, Gordon DL. And it is indeed Tails, Gordon DL, up against Ross.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, thanks very much, Ross.
That's 5 points to Ross on Beat the Pundit before he even starts. Right, let's give you some Clyde 2 to make sure that you don't know what Ross is saying. The last thing we need is for you to cheat, because you would, let's be honest. And he can't even hear me say that, Ross, so he can't disagree. You've got 30 seconds. Remember, you can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit, Ross. Are you ready? Which side is currently bottom of the Scottish Premiership?
Dundee.
At which stadium do Inter Milan play their home games?
San Siro.
Which former manager has been appointed technical director of St Mirren? Who finished runners-up in last season's Europa League? Which Hearts defender made his Scotland senior debut this month?
John Shooter.
Who did Barcelona face tonight in the Champions League?
PSV.
And which country won Euro 2004? Stephen Gerrard. Sorry, I've started, so I'll finish as they say. Stephen Gerrard played for which club after leaving Liverpool? Quick.
LA Galaxy.
Okay. You knew that one, didn't you? Question 7, and you know you gave me the wrong answer. Right, let's bring Gordon DL back. Don't give it away, Ross. We've got a goal, by the way. Inter nil, Tottenham 1. Christian Eriksen has scored in that one, if you're keeping an eye on it. Right, Gordon DL, you ready? Same set of questions to you.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, let's get the clock up and running. Which side is currently bottom of the Scottish Premiership?
Dundee.
At which stadium do Inter Milan play their home games?
San Siro.
Which former manager has been appointed technical director at St Mirren?
Gus McPherson.
Who finished runners-up in last season's Europa League?
Marseille.
Which Hearts defender made his Scotland senior debut this month?
John Shooter.
Who did Barcelona face tonight in the Champions League?
I haven't a clue, they're 1-1-0, Messi.
Okay, which country won Euro 2004?
Spain.
And Stephen Gerrard. Stephen Gerrard played for which club after leaving Liverpool?
Oh, the American one.
Hurry up.
I can't. Hurry MLS.
No, that's what you said last week.
I know. I can't remember. Okay. Watching, I had no idea.
It was going so well.
Yeah, he started well.
I hate these.
He just panics so much, doesn't he? Right, anyway. Ross, you've heard Gordon's attempt. I know you were a bit frustrated at your own efforts. Do you think you've done enough?
I think I've just done enough.
Oh,
I think you might be right. Let's go through them. Which side currently bottom of the Scottish Premiership? Dundee, 1-1. Second question, at which stadium do Inter Milan play their home games? San Siro. I would have accepted the other name, Roger, which is
Giuseppe Meazza.
Yeah, they both said San Siro, so I'm happy with that. 2-2. Gus McPherson, technical director at St Mirren. By the way, Saints fans, get in touch, let us know what you think. 3-3. Who finished runners-up in last season's Europa League? No offence, I can't believe you got that. Well done. It was Marseille.
Am I in the lead?
You're in the lead.
Forget the question.
I cannot believe that. Which Hearts defender made his Scotland debut this month? It was John Souter. You both got it. So Gordon, you've got 5 out of 5 so far.
I've got 5 out of 5,
and Ross has got 4. And Ross struck back straight away. We literally watched Lionel Messi's free kick about 3 minutes ago.
I know, I can't remember who
that was. It's playing. PSV Eindhoven. Sure. So that's the equaliser.
I was watching it too.
The equaliser for Ross. On to question 7. Which country won Euro 2004? Ross said Portugal, and then he screamed, which I guess means he knows it's not right. It was in fact
Greece.
Remember it?
Oh, they won the Eurovision as well.
Did they? Yeah. I'll take your word for that. Portugal lost in the final, I think, Ross, didn't they? Is that where you're getting that from?
The tournament was in Portugal, I'm sure. They put England out, but then Greece managed to somehow win it.
Aye, so don't tell me I've been beat with the last question.
So it all, basically all comes down to the last question because it's tied. No, listen, you don't know if Ross got it right yet.
Yeah, he did. I can see it in your face.
Steven Gerrard played for which club after leaving Liverpool?
I still don't know.
It's LA Galaxy. How can you not know that? Honestly, well done, Ross. The sign ball is on its way. You've pipped him on the last question.
Brilliant. Thanks,
good
guys.
Man. Great effort, Ross from Castlemilk.
I thought no balls left here when you were on.
I was going with a steamroller there.
I'll tell you something. The man who is now known as QOS will now be knowing you as MLS.
Yeah. LA Gal, that's an easy one.
I know, you know what like is it, sometimes you get nervous on the radio.
Yeah, okay. Right, 0141 951 1025. Join us on the line if you'd rather tweet. Then we are at Clyde SSB. Let me take a quick look at the old Twitter, see if there's anything else on the Champions League memories front. Doesn't look like it at the moment. Oh, we do, actually. Kevin McPhail says, me and Big Paul were a game against Benfica. I'm just reading this out and making sure there's nothing dodgy in it. Celtic 2-0, McGeady got 1. I got hit with a cheeseburger wrapper for tanning wine in front of the stewards, he says.
Great memories. Yeah. Listen, you can't whack nostalgia. There's nothing like it, and it's great to hear all these old stories that, you know, people get nostalgic about the Champions League. I was never a great one for, you know, for cabaret or anything, but I know Daz gets nostalgic for the cabaret and is a way to see an old hero of his in a couple of weeks' time, Joe Longthorne. So anyone just any memories of Joe or they've seen him before?
Friday night.
Is it this Friday?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I have got no idea who Joe Longthorne is.
I've googled and shown you photographs of the great man.
Is that an age thing, or am I being...
Honestly, I don't think I've ever seen Daz as excited.
Brilliant.
Is that your big night out this weekend? Yeah, alright, okay. Yeah, but well done on the nostalgia. Nothing says Champions League nostalgia like getting hit with a cheeseburger wrapper for tanning wine in front of the stewards. Kevin and Paul, I don't know.
Same steward we had on earlier on.
Well, he wasn't watching, was he? He was watching the game. I can't condone that type of behaviour, but it is quite funny anyway. Right, 0141 951 1025. Let's hear a bit from Scotland assistant James McFadden. He thinks Stephen Naismith's form can only be a good thing for Lee Griffiths. That's despite the Celtic striker sitting out of the win against Albania. Alex McLeish said after the game it would be hard to say Naismith wouldn't be the number one striker against Israel, but McFadden says there's plenty of opportunity for Griffiths to work his way back in.
Yeah, it's a great thing. You want competition. I want guys that are unhappy not to be playing, and that's right. I think the manager's comments were maybe taken a bit out of context. It didn't mean that Stephen Naismith was going to be the number one striker and that was it, case closed. It meant that from his performances, the way he trained, that he was in pole position to hang on to the jersey, and quite right or so, I would have given him the other goal as well and made it 2 goals. But we want Lee Griffiths and guys at Olamide Burnley coming back in. We want them to be disappointed. We want them to take up the challenge because there's places there for everyone. We don't have a settled squad. It was a fantastic start to the Nations League, but we want the best players playing, and it is a challenge for Lee Griffiths. He has the same similar type challenge at club level, and he'll have to face that. He'll have to fight the battle to get in the team, both at Celtic and for Scotland. But that's what we want. If he's unhappy, great. If he comes with the attitude that he wants to come and show that he should be in the team, even better.
So Lee Griffiths, does he get to lead the line for Celtic this week, or is it going to be Odson Edouard again?
It'll be odds on Edward for me. For all of the chat that surrounded this in the last few days, sparked a week past last night by Alan McLeish's decision to omit Lee Griffiths. Lee Griffiths has scored 3 goals since January. No offence to the teams I'm about to mention. 1 against Partick Thistle, 1 against Hamilton Accies, and 1 against Suduva. Stephen Naismith, I think, scored 9 goals in the last 2 months. So if you're going on form, Alan McLeish has made the right decision and has picked the right man. And as James McFadden says, you know, it's great if Lee Griffiths isn't happy, but it's now up to Lee Griffiths to rediscover the form that got him into the Scotland team in the first place, because you can only live off the 2 free kicks against England for so long.
Mark Wilson and I are convinced that you've changed your tune on this Gordon deal.
On what?
As to who should be the number one striker at Celtic between Oddson Edouard and Lee Griffiths. We are pretty sure that last Thursday you said Oddson Edouard, and at the weekend you changed your mind to Lee Griffiths.
Have you got a copy? You've got a cut there.
I don't. Yeah, I'll find it. I don't. I promise
you
I don't.
What I really said was that Lee Griffiths has to play for me, Gordon. I know he signed a new contract. He's been playing second fiddle for, you know, a few seasons now since Brendan Rodgers came in. He had that fantastic season. He scored 40 goals. I like Lee Griffiths. I think he's got good movement. He's improved as a player, but he's got to play. And now he's got another challenge. And Rodgers, right, he's put all the facts out there. It's up to Lee Griffiths. But he's one of these boys that he likes a challenge. You know, if you look at Celtic when he was sitting in the bench, every time he got an opportunity to play, he put the ball in the back of the net. And a lot of fans were divided about Griffiths should be the number one striker, but Brendan Rodgers, the main man, decided Dembele was the number one striker, and I do agree with that. So he's now got the challenge at Celtic, and he's now got a challenge at Scotland. So the best way to react is go out there when you got the opportunity and do what you do best. Put the ball in the back end.
He's going to need to have to rediscover the form that got him in those teams in the first place. And, you know, it just hasn't been seen. And it was a surprise that Alan McLeish left him out. But when we look back on it with the benefit of hindsight, maybe it shouldn't really have been a surprise, because Naismith has been the man in form. Griffiths hasn't been the man in form. He hasn't been getting selected at club level. And as you've said in the show before, that's Brendan Rodgers sees him from a Monday to Friday. He's, you know, he makes the calls on who gets into the team for the big games. And I don't think anyone was surprised. You know, the biggest game of all, the game against Rangers the other week, when Edouard was shoved straight back into the team.
It's not like Lee Griffiths is, he's clearly not overly upset by this. He's just signed a new 4-year deal or whatever it is. So, I mean, he's clearly quite content to battle out.
Well, I think he loves playing with Celtic, Gordon. It's a massive club. I think he likes the manager. I think he's got a good relationship. My only point was that he's getting to his career now. That as a player, there's nothing more frustrating than training all week and then sitting on the bench, especially when you know you're capable of scoring goals. You love scoring goals. You watch him, he loves it. And I just think that he's got to really rise to his challenge now. If he's going to stay at Celtic, he has got to declare himself as the number one striker. Sitting being a bench player for another season, I don't think it's any good to a guy with the talent of Lee Griffiths. So I'm being complimentary of him.
And it's the old saw, man, I like Lee Griffiths. When he's on form, he's terrific. He's virtually unplayable when he's on form. And it goes back to the old one that class is permanent, form is temporary. But he's been out of form for a little period of time now, and he needs to rediscover the form.
At Clyde SSB, there's a few referring back to Beat the Pundit. Paul Dormer says, good job you haven't got the woman who does the stadium tour of the Giuseppe Meazza on, because she was raging when I called it the San Siro and she got me told. And Wes says, is it not the San Siro when AC are at home and the Giuseppe Meazza when Inter are at home? I think Wes is right. I think that's what they call it. But we're generous here on Beat the Pundit, so we accepted San Siro.
Take a point off the both of us. I'll keep everybody happy.
And you still lose. Beat. Exactly. There we go. No
five
problem
four
at all.
LA Galaxy. I'll never eat an R Galaxy as long as I live.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
01419511025. Craig is in Blantyre. Hi, Craig.
How you doing, guys? You all right, Gordon? All right, panel?
Yes, hi, all good. Great. Craig, what's on your mind tonight then?
It's just about the George Peat interview yesterday with our national broadcaster. Which is a bit disappointing, because it went kind of virtually unchallenged, and Mr. Peat was more or less given a platform to put across his opinion and not to counter-argument any and challenge on the points he was making. So that was pretty disappointing, as I said, from our national broadcaster. But I say that's not your issue, and that's not what I'm phoning in really about. It's I find it quite bewildering why George Peat was more or less iterated that his biggest disappointment was the fact that a chairman of an unnamed club was asking just simply not to show any favouritism towards Rangers, especially when Rangers were of their own downfall, considering they rescheduled the Gretna game, which compounded the matters. As I said, I think it's disappointing that during that time of George Peat's tenure, you had the failed registrations of Rangers that went unnoticed. Our national team failed to qualify for any major tournament. And not to mention the referee scandal when they went on strike, to bypass all of those main points, to focus on simply this conversation between a chairman of another club, I thought was quite baffling.
Well, Roger Hanna, it's hard for us to sort of speak on behalf of George Peat in terms of why he thinks that was his standout disappointment. What do you make of Craig's take on it?
Yeah, well, I was certainly quite surprised he said that was his biggest disappointment, because you would think, as president of the Scottish Football Association, if you're there for 4 years, your two biggest disappointments would be the failure to qualify for the two major finals while you were president of the association. It wasn't a strange interview. I felt it was slightly unusual that it seemed to me that George Peat brought this incident up rather than being, you know, probed upon it. It was almost volunteered by George Peat, this phone call from an unnamed chairman of what he described as a prominent club. It's almost as if he's been waiting for the last 7 years to get this off his chest. It's great chat for us in the media. Likes of Craig, David before him, phoning up. Fills the hours for us. We can chat about it all day long. Fills column inches for me at the Sun. I'm not really sure it's done, you know, the people who have come after him at the SFA any favours. I don't think it's done the people who were in charge of the SPL any favours to open this up again. One of the callers earlier on was looking for some variety of inquiry or investigation into it. Please no. I don't want any of that. I don't think it does anybody any favours. And good story though it is, I hope it goes away as quickly as it came.
Thanks to Craig and Blantyre. It's 0141 951 1025. St Mirren fans, I'm quite keen to hear from you on the appointment of your former manager Gus McPherson back at the club. If you were listening to tonight's Beat the Pundit, you would know this.
Well done,
as man. Gordon Dalziel, his job title. You got it right and Beat the Pundit.
Yes.
Technical director.
He's not director
anyway,
of football.
Anyway, St Mirren fans, give us a call. I want to know your thoughts. Is that going to be something you see working well, the relationship between Gus McPherson and Oran Kearney, or not? 0141 951 1025. In the meantime though, if like Gordon Dalziel, you're into your golf, you're fond of swinging the club, then you need to get involved in our annual Cash for Kids Golf Day next month at Glen Eagles. It's going to be played on the Queen's Course on the 11th of October. It includes breakfast, a goodie bag, a two-course dinner afterwards, and of course some great prizes on offer too. Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson will be part of the Clyde One Super Scoreboard team. I'll be there if I've not snapped the golf clubs and thrown them in the bin out of frustration.
Which will happen before then.
But if you fancy it and you want info on how to book, head over to clydeone.com/golf. The full-time teaser's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hanna who join me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can give us a call. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. You'll like this one, Gordon. I hope I can find it actually, because I put the question out. I had never heard of your man. What is it, Joe?
Joe Longthorne.
Yeah. Fuzzy says, I was in hospital years ago and Joe Longthorne's manager was in the bed next to me. He got his PR worker to bring fish suppers up the fire escape for everyone in the ward. Thanks to Gordon for bringing that memory back. Yeah. Nothing to do with football, nothing to do with anything really, but it just shows you, our listeners, there's memories on everything.
Exactly.
I like
exactly.
That.
And
I'm
Joe,
getting an
Joe
education.
Joe would have had
tonight.
A big part in the fish suppers. Let
yeah,
me tell
I'm
you.
Sure.
Probably bottom.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy your night. I think that's probably the last we should say about this, because I've actually no idea what's going on.
Are tickets still available?
Sold out. Lanark, fantastic.
Right, okay. I think the less you know about Gordon Dalziel's social life, the better. That tends to be the rule that we go on, Roger Hanna, because there are a few stories in there that. Really, the best kept unsaid, I think. So let's go. Let's move swiftly on to the full time teaser.
Right.
That's the same time every night. We get this up and running. One of you guys sends a question to us and we try and test out the pundit. So Dylan has been in touch. Dylan Patton has sent in this question. It's quite a good one. In fact, it's a very good one. Are you listening? Because you never listen.
I'm in.
You sure? You tuned in?
Your leg, Galaxy.
Since the beginning of the 04-05 season. So what to do is write that bit down. 04-05, following me so far. 12 non-Scots have scored against Celtic and have also been a Celtic player.
Scott McDonald.
Yes.
Thanks, Mushroom. I knew he'd come in handy.
So since the beginning of the 04-05 season, 12 non-Scots have scored against Celtic and have been a Celtic player at another point in their career. So Scott McDonald, for instance, scored against Celtic for
Motherwell.
Yes, and has been a Celtic player. So yeah, Scott McDonald. Roger Hannah, any from you?
Now I'm again.
Yes, Aberdeen.
You're flying.
I mean, some of these are quite easy. There's a few tricky ones in there.
Anthony Stokes.
Yep.
Keep it going, Roger. I'm with you.
Willow Flood's not one, eh?
Willow Flood is not one. You're right. Even those the wrong answers. That's how good Roger Hannah is. I'll take one more guess each. So since the 04-05 season, 12 non-Scots have scored against Celtic and at another point in their career have also been a Celtic player.
Oh, Scott Brown.
No.
Ooh.
Gordon DL, one more guess from you and I'll move on, please, quickly.
Scott Brown.
Yeah, for him.
Hurry up. One more guess from you.
Oh, no, I'm struggling.
Struggling? Okay. St Mirren fans, 0141 951 1025. Gus McPherson is your new technical director. It was announced today. Former manager, of course, back at the club in a slightly different role this time. So St Mirren fans, what do you make of that appointment? 0141 951 1025. Let's get back to the phones. Do you know, I'm going to be completely honest and hold my hands up, Roger, the screen's broken and I don't know this caller's name. I'm now being reliably informed it's Ian in Motherwell. Hi, Ian.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, Ian. What's your point tonight?
Can I have a guess at the full-time teaser first?
Yeah,
no,
go for it.
No, do not help.
Yeah.
No,
we've only got 3-9.
See if this is Ian from Motherwell because you're Gordon DL's neighbour or something, and he's arranged for you to phone in. I will not be happy. Crack on, Ian. You can whisper it to me later.
Okay, I think there's a few Motherwell players in it though. Anyway, my point was that it seems that McLeish seems to be getting quite a bit of credit for picking Naismith, although Naismith was only selected after, was it McBurney that dropped out? So he wasn't actually in the squad originally. I would have put him in the squad, but I just wanted the panel's thoughts on why McLeish never picked him in the first place.
I guess it's a fair question, Roger.
Listen, it's a more than fair question. Why he wasn't in the team, because his form has been good. He got in through the back door, if you like, when Ollie McBurney and Mark Phillips pulled out. He'll definitely, injuries permitting, be in the squad for the game against Israel and then the subsequent friendly against Portugal. I would imagine he would be in the team. Where I think Alec McLeish did make a mistake though is by pronouncing straight after the Albania game that Naismith would be starting in the game against Israel, because what happens if there is an injury to Stephen Naismith and Alec McLeish then has to go back to Lee Griffiths or someone else to say, listen, I know I said that, but actually, can you play centre forward for me, please?
I don't think that's a bad thing.
Are you not, hold on, are you not buying James McFadden's take on it, that the comment was taken slightly out of context?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Well, you're guaranteed that if Naismith's fit, he's going to play, because he deserves to play.
Well, how do you know? You got a crystal ball?
No, if
he doesn't deserve it by then?
But he'll play, because Alec McLeish has already come out and stated, I know what McFadden said, but he's already really stated if he's fit, he's going to play. But Roger touched on, well, if he's injured, you need to go back to someone like Lee Griffiths. That's just football. You've got to stand up. And Lee Griffiths has been brilliant and said, right, okay, I've had this before. People are challenging me. I'll come out and prove them wrong. I'll score goals. That is great for a manager to hear, because you want your players saying that. You don't want them going in the huff. He's not done that. He's decided, no, I'm quite happy to turn round and prove he's all wrong. At the end of the day, I will be the number one striker. I think that's great for the squad, and I think it's great for the manager.
And all of a sudden, Roger, the full thing will take on a different complexion, hopefully, because when this squad was announced, people are saying, Lee Griffiths is the only real option. He's the only striker that we've got. And all of a sudden, Oliver McBurney drops out injured, and it makes the situation even worse. Fast forward to the next squad, Oliver McBurney will hopefully come back in, Lee Griffiths will still be there, and all of a sudden we've got an informed Stephen Naismith who scored on his previous game for Scotland.
Yeah.
Things will look a bit better.
Mark Phillips was back in scoring form at the weekend for West Bromwich Albion as well. Tony Watt is pushing very hard at St Johnson to get back into the Scotland squad. So as you say, all of a sudden there are a few striking options there for Alec McLeish. Hopefully they all stay fit, because I think we might need them in Israel. And it's a winnable game, but to win games you need to score goals.
You want to come back in, Ian?
I watched Naismith against Millwall on Saturday, and he was brilliant. See, with the younger players, he was telling them what to do. Even the guys that came from abroad that probably don't speak too much English, and he was instructing everybody. He also, I just wonder, is there a room for him and a striker, a few players in a number 10 role? Is there room for him and an out-and-out striker as well in the team? Because I think there's only 31 they've missed as well, so why he was missing out the squad in the first place is kind of beyond me, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there are room for both of them. I think that Rodgers touched on it earlier. Lee Griffiths needs to start really getting back into the Celtic team, start scoring goals, and deserve, get back into the form that got him so much praise. And he's certainly got the talent. And I think it's brilliant that if you're a manager, you've got the availability of Naismith and Griffiths, because I definitely do think you can fit them in. Because Naismith is now a more experienced player. He's very clever. He can play in different positions. And he's informed just now.
What about your own team, Ian? Are you waiting nervously to find out the full extent of this injury to your goalkeeper, Trevor Carson?
Well, I've had it. My boy's quite close to Motherwell, and my father, in good authority, he's broke his ankle, so I think he's going to be out for a bit.
You know, an exclusive.
Well, genius, but I thought Gillespie came out and played really well as well, so.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, I don't think it's any great secret. I think most people at Motherwell probably expected Trevor Carson to leave, such as the impact that he had. You know, he's been so good. So yeah. if Ian's exclusive on the show tonight turns out to be correct, then it's a blow whatever way you look at it.
Yeah, and if it's right, I think we'll speak for us all when I say we wish him well. We wish him a speedy and full recovery. It did look a sore one. You saw the pictures on his social media at the weekend. But Mark Gillespie, he arrived at the club in the summer with a decent pedigree, a decent CV, a very difficult job he gave himself to try and oust Trevor Carson from the team. Circumstances have now put Trevor Carson out of the team, and it's up to Mark Gillespie to go in. I thought he showed up quite well when he came on at the weekend, and if Ian's correct and Trevor's out for a few weeks, then it'll give Mark Gillespie a chance to show the Motherwell supporters, and I'm looking at two of them here, what he can do.
Thanks to Ian in Motherwell. It's 01419511025 to join in tonight. I'm just thinking, by the way, we let Roger Hanna off with an absolute howler there, didn't we?
I can't believe that. Yeah. That's why I said
I was multitasking. I mean,
Scott Brown.
Mark Mushroom, genuinely went to call him there.
I've misheard the question. I've got a whole long list of Scottish
don't
players.
Don't even start me. Mark Wilson became an internet sensation because he couldn't understand the question when I said Scottish players. And Roger Hanna, the fountain of knowledge in Clyde One Super Scoreboard, has just referred to Scott Brown as one of the answers to the question, which says non-Scots.
He's half American, yep. Canadian, Australian.
MLS,
what about
QOS.
Yeah, I've got one for you.
Go for it.
I watched him Saturday.
I'll just remind. Let me read the question so that we can please iron out any issues here.
Read the question carefully, because I think I've got an answer.
No, you need to listen, Roger. Listen to the question.
Since the beginning of the 04-05 season, 12 non-Scots have scored against
non-Scots.
Celtic.
Okay.
And at another point in their career have also been a Celtic player. Don't give me Lucas Zaluska, because he scored in the penalty shootout, didn't he?
Darren O'Dea, what about him?
Darren O'Dea, no.
Why I was asking for the question to be read out to me, the end of the question is, and also being a Celtic player.
Correct.
Which doesn't actually mean they have taken to the pitch for Celtic.
Correct.
Yusuf Malumbu.
Correct. Well done. See, always worded very carefully.
Yes, Roger.
Can I give you Johnny Hayes?
You can.
I've got him. Don't steal my thunder.
Right, go on, Gordon. What have you got
Johnny
for
Johnny Hayes?
Apart from him.
I didn't. I had Darren O'Dea and Johnny Hayes.
I can't believe it's taken us to the sixth answer.
Me either.
Henrik Larsson.
Yeah. Shame on you. Right, Henrik Larsson, Niall McGinn, Anthony Stokes, Scott McDonald, Johnny Hayes, Yusuf Malumbu. Just some of the 12 non-Scots who've scored against Celtic and been a Celtic player since 04-05. We'll keep that teaser ticking along. St Mirren fans, come on, where are you? I asked for your opinions on Gus McPherson in to be the new technical director at St Mirren. It was announced today, Roger, which of course means he leaves his post as Queen's Park manager to return to the club he managed between 2003 and 2010. Clearly means a bit of a new structure for St Mirren following the removal of Alan Stubbs and the introduction of Oran Kearney. What do you make of it?
Well, I think it's a sensible move. I have to say, I like Gus. He had a fantastic spell in charge of St Mirren. They won the old First Division. They won the Challenge Cup. They reached the League Cup final. They brought through several young players. He did very, very well for the football club at the time. And at a time now when they have effectively a recently appointed chairman, he's not been there that long, Gordon Scott. Tony Fitzpatrick hasn't been back at the club long as managing director. Oran Kearney's only been in for a week as manager. I think it's a very wise move to put somebody in there with experience of the club, experience of the league, and experience of the Scottish game in general. It's been a dreadful week for Queen's Park. Just a few days ago, you know, we learned that they're going to be ousted from Hampden, their historic home, and now they've lost a guy who's been manager for the last 4.5 years and has done a terrific job for them.
Gordon Smith's on Twitter. He says he'll be sorely missed at Queen's. Gordon Scott talking on the club's official website, the St Mirren chairman, saying you know, basically that they wanted to look at the structure and decided we want to have someone within the football department who will be a constant presence going forward. That's it in a nutshell, Gordon. That's how technical directors or directors of football work. It's very common on the continent. We tend to be a little bit suspicious of it here, but that's the idea. It's about continuity, so that when managers come and go, you've got that consistency.
I think under the circumstances, Gordon, it's a good appointment. You've got a manager coming in that doesn't really know anything about the Scottish game. It's his first job as a full-time manager, and Gus is well known round the Scottish scene. He's been a very experienced manager and successful manager, and I think Gus will be a terrific help for him. Gus knows St Mirren inside out, played a big part in the club, so I think it's a good piece of business, and hopefully you can't always look and think it's going to work, but I think that St Mirren hope it works, and if it works, I think it'll be successful.
A good piece of business, says Gordon DL. Did you just say if it works, it'll be successful?
Yeah.
Great. I love that insight. Well done. James, do you agree with Gordon DL that it looks like a good piece of business? James is on the line.
Fantastic piece of business for the club. Delighted to hear the news that Gus McPherson is back. Very successful manager. Back with us. He had a good 7-year period, won promotion, won a Challenge Cup. Really, in the back of what Roger was saying there, back him up and what he's saying, he brought up good players, he was fairly successful. I think he knows the club really, really well. He's going to help Oran Kearney. Some Scottish knowledge, Oran came out himself and said, "Here, I don't know too much about your league. I can tell you everything inside out, you know, about the Northern Ireland League." Welcome back.
Yeah, Roger, I mean, it's like Gordon says, you can't possibly predict. There's absolutely no way of saying this is guaranteed to be a success, but it just seems like one that makes sense, doesn't it? Because not only have you got a young and experienced manager, but one that doesn't know the surroundings particularly well. It just makes sense to try and give the guy help.
Yeah, and the club's now back in the top flight, and there's an awful lot of work to be done. There's an awful lot of learning for Oran Kearney to do on the job, and I think he will need to focus on the first team along with Brian Rice. They got a very important point against Celtic last Friday night, but they'll need to build on that and to try and pull away from the teams at the bottom. Huge 6-pointer at Hamilton at the weekend, and Oran Kearney will need to devote himself to that first team. He's brought in Anton Ferdinand. He's looking at bringing in others to add a little bit more experience to the team. And as he's doing that with the first team, in order that the other areas of the football department are not neglected, scouting, youth development, everything else that, you know, modern day football entails, I think the addition of Gus McPherson will be as valuable to Oran Kearney as to Gordon Scott and Tony Fitzpatrick.
Thanks to James in Paisley. Still time for you to get involved tonight. 01419511025. On the teaser, Dylan Patton has sent this one in. If you've got a good question, please do send it to us fulltime@clyde1.com. We're looking for 12 non-Scots since the 04-05 season who've scored against Celtic and at another point in their career have also been a Celtic player. The likes of Malumbu, Hayes, Stokes, McDonald, Larson and McGinn. I can see Thomas has got a couple. Danny is on Twitter with a couple as well.
Did Joenga Berget?
Oh, ah, that's a great shout, isn't it? Yep, that was one of the tough ones. I thought you may miss, but
well done, yeah, Roger. Well done.
Any from you, Gordon?
Centre forward. I don't know.
Yeah, there are a couple of centre forwards on here. Yeah.
Did he score? Bradback?
No, he's not on this list anyway. That's all you need to know.
Well, okay. I'll be centre forwards. We need centre forwards.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the is it the time that would rule him out? Perhaps the time frame.
Too early. Yeah.
Okay, we'll get the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hannah and Gordon Dalziel are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're into the final part of tonight's show, which means these two have got some work to do on Dylan Patton's teaser that he sent into us. If you've got a question, please send it in to fulltime at Clyde1.com. The question is this: since 0405, 12 non-Scots have scored against Celtic and at another point in their career have been a Celtic player. They're doing quite well, I must say. They've got Malumbu, Hayes, Stokes, McDonald, Larson, McGinn and Berget. Any more?
Kelly and Sheridan.
Brilliant.
That's a great shout. I'll hold my hands up. The producer came in here at the break and I pointed to Killian Sheridan's name and I said, they'll never get that one.
I helped him out with that.
Roger Hannah just threw it back in my face. Mm-hmm. Would that have been for Kilmarnock or for? He had a spell at Motherwell as well.
Didn't he scored for Kilmarnock when Kelly won at Celtic Park.
Doesn't matter. He's one of the correct answers. Killian Sheridan. Come on, Gordon. You've gone awful quiet, which is rare.
I've helped him out as far as.
No, you've not.
I say it's a Motherwell or Kilmarnock player.
What you bring into the table?
Massimo Donati didn't score against Celtic, did he?
No. No, no, Massimo Donati is not one of them.
Good shot.
Right, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4. You've got 4 still to get, yeah?
What, 4?
Yep, you've got 4 to get.
Struggling.
2 easy, 1 quite hard, 1 very hard. That's just my own take on it, I must say.
You concentrate on easy and I'll go for a very hard.
Right, I do want to squeeze in a couple more calls and we don't have a great deal of time left, so let's quickly hear Derek and Paisley's thoughts on Gus McPherson back to St Mirren. Derek?
I think it's a tremendous appointment. Delighted to see Gus back at the club.
What in particular, Derek? Just about, is it about the experience, the helping out of Oran Kearney?
Well, I think obviously Gus is obviously a very successful manager with St Mirren, and obviously the structures been put in place with the new board and with Tony and the chairman and basically everyone's employed with the club. I think this is the missing link to the armour.
Roger.
I think Gus. And Oran Kearney will work very close together and it'll be a serious major force in Scotland.
Oof. Derek's very optimistic.
Well, Tony Fitzpatrick was talking about top four and Oran Kearney was talking about winning the league, so they certainly have ambitions to be a serious force. If we're being realistic, success for St Mirren this season is staying up, but it looks as if they're serious about putting the right building blocks in place. Oran Kearney had a decent start, no more than that. Decent start, point against Celtic's 10 men last Friday night. The team performed better than it had done earlier in the season. So the foundations are beginning to be there for St Mirren. Oran Kearney will take charge of the first team. Gus McPherson will take charge of the football department, if you like. But he will be a valuable sounding board for Oran Kearney, a man whose experience of Scottish football at the minute extends only to 90 minutes.
Derek, hopefully we'll get the thoughts of Gus McPherson in the coming days. You give us a call back then once we've heard from him and you can get a bit of a longer stint. I appreciate I've rushed you off there because we are running out of time. Thanks to Derek in Paisley. Let's hear quickly from Charlie and Airdrie. Hi, Charlie.
How are you doing? All right?
Yeah, not bad. What's on your mind? Are you, any thoughts on James Tavernier?
Ah, it's regarding Tavernier. I don't rate him at all, to tell you the truth. Even when Wobbington was there, rugby's improved a wee bit. But the thing is, when did he ever play against Celtic? He's never ever turned up against Celtic. I don't even think he scored a goal against Celtic, not even a penalty. He seems to disappear in Celtic games. I think the Celtic have got him under their thumb. I think the Romans say you do it. And they make him captain. I agree with Gordon. I think for the start they should have made McGregor captain. the experience that man's got. He could be shouting for the bat, telling people what to do. I don't know what kind of captain he is, but I got surprised in my life when they made him captain. So I don't rate him at all. But if it works out and we get a big pay out for him, well, that'll be all right, you know. But I don't understand it.
Just to be fair to James Tavernier, Charlie, if you were judging Rangers players who've been there in the last couple of seasons on what they've done against Celtic, then not many of them would get pass marks, would they?
Well, that's what I mean. But see, that's like, I don't want to say dodge, but at the beginning of the season, I wanted everybody out, right, including Tavernier. I wanted everybody out. And Gerrard seems to have took him in. Seems to have took him. I don't know what it's all about. Seems to think he's the best thing since sliced bread. So what I got to say about it, at the end of the day, my opinion is he's no good enough for Rangers. And the thing is, as I said, I had a sale him a long time ago.
But Gordon, I did say that James Tavernier tends to divide opinion somewhat amongst the Rangers fans. The ones we had on earlier were delighted that he signed. Charlie's not, and that sort of proves the point.
Yeah, but the most important thing, and Charlie's right, it's all about opinions, Gordon. If you go and watch them, you'll see different things in different players, and you'll like different things in different players. We all do. I think that Tavernier, I was very critical of his defending for a long, long time. It's improved a little bit. I don't think it's brilliant, but I think going forward and what he offers to Rangers, and when the start of season come up, you're thinking, right, captain. I do agree with Charlie. You had guys like McGregor there that could have easily stepped in that role with the experience he's got, and I think McGregor will be his best signing. But he's working with Tavernier day in, day out. He knows the respect from the rest of the players, and he decided to give him the captaincy, and I think he's responded to that responsibility, Gordon, and I think he's been excellent so far this season. Going forward, Roger touched on it, 30 goals and 150 appearances. He's always in the starting 11. He's very seldom injured as well, which is a good thing.
Thank you to Charlie and Airdrie. If you were keeping an eye on that Spurs game, remember I told you they were 1-0 up at Inter Milan. They've lost 2-1, by the way. They conceded a very late winner for Inter Milan. Right, on the teaser, you're looking for four more non-Scots since 0405 non-Scots who've played, scored against Celtic and been a Celtic player as well at another time in their career.
F.A. Ambrose.
Yes, that's a fantastic.
I saw him at the weekend.
Well done, F.A. Ambrose.
Nadir Sivce.
Yes.
Oh, Murphy.
Nadir, Chief's favourite player. Mark Wilson's favourite player.
He was shouting it so loud in the house I heard him.
All the way from Cumbernauld. Nadir Chiefchi is indeed,
I think I'm too late. David Fernandez.
Yes.
Look at this.
This late run that Roger Hanna has produced means that you're only one away.
Oh,
I think he's got it. I think he's just trying to build a bit of suspense.
Yeah, I do like to do that, but
I'm afraid not.
No?
No.
Gordon DL, any from you?
I have no chance. Give us a clue.
Give you a clue. I'm trying to think of one that's sort of an, I don't want to just give it away too easily.
Is it one we should get?
I'll name some of his, I'll start going through his other clubs, okay? Mm-hmm.
Go.
Sunderland. Hibs. Perth Glory.
Oh, is it Liam Miller?
It's Liam Miller.
Oh, well done.
Let's go for.
I must admit, I can't remember, but it's Liam Miller. It's on Dylan's list, don't you worry.
Dylan.
Man United in the Champions League.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. Thank you to Roger Hanna and Gordon DL. Thank you to you for listening. Thanks for calling and tweeting. And we can do it all over again tomorrow in the company of Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy. Don't go anywhere because Callum Gallagher is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.